now we're going to talk about charities. And Mark Lubner, who's the CEO of Africa Tikkun, is in the studio with us. And we've been talking about that during the news. We were talking about the amounts of money that we can do. But we know that the country and the economy of the country and the future of the country, it's all about the youth. This is the youth. The youth are the future of the country. The youth are the future of the continent, and the youngest continent in the world. What are we doing about the youth? Have we let the youth down? Well, if there's one organization that is making a difference, it's Africa Tikkun. And Mark Lubner, thank you for joining us in the studio.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on your show.
How would you describe Africa Tikkun?
It's a youth development organization that goes one step beyond. So it's an organization that is involved in developing youngsters in township from very early infancy all the way into job opportunities. And where I say going one step beyond, many an organization, non-for-profit organization, focuses on one aspect of a child's development. Our philosophy is that you have to look at the development of a child holistically. So you have to start at an early enough age to develop children so that they have both the hard and soft skills necessary to become productive members of society. But we've got to go one step further. You know, the legacy that apartheid left us, whether we'd like to admit it or not, is that there are township environments that are devoid and separate from where the urban job opportunities lie. That involves a number of problems for kids who want to get jobs. First of all, they don't know what jobs are available. Second of all, they don't know how to access the interviews because the cost of getting from Diepsloot, for argument's sake, to Sandton is going to cost them $28 there and back. And if you're generating no income whatsoever, you know, that's a consideration that one can't typically ignore. So what Africa Tikkun tries to do is Africa Tikkun tries to, in the first instance, develop youngsters from this early stage in their home environments, in the heart of the townships, using local community individuals, skilling them up, putting them into structured environments, building centers, early childhood development centers, youth development centers, taking the kids through a series of development phases, right up until post-matric. We actually do a career development phase, 3 months of training for jobs, but we then link directly with corporates to identify where opportunities for jobs might exist, such that we can hopefully put these candidates for jobs forward, be that for internships or for permanent job opportunities.
Now, when you say kids, what age are you looking at from?
Well, our programs involve children starting from the age of two, literally, in early childhood development. We're on a fully-fledged set of early childhood development stations. We're operating in six centers. So we have early childhood development centers, where kids start at the age of literally two, turning three, till they turn six to seven. And then we provide a after-schools program for children who are now going to primary school and high school. And that then runs up to the age of about, let's call it 18, 19. Our career development programs at 19, 20. And then we actually engage with kids in helping them to go through more specific job skills training opportunities determined by companies. So we'll deal with kids right up to the age of about 23, 24.
Okay, and then it's you've empowered them enough to say, okay, and they're now adults, they're not kids anymore, right?
Correct.
You've empowered them enough to you know, go into the world and just do their own thing. Take us a little bit further back. Africa Tikkun, how was it born? How long have you guys been around? And how many kids have passed through your hands?
Well, the organization started some 20 years ago. It was started by my late father, Bertie, and they then also late now Chief Rabbi Harris of South Africa. Both men were phenomenal philanthropists. They operated from a place of enormous heart. My dad brought the business discipline. His philosophy always was, if you're going to do something, there has to be a sense of responsibility and accountability for it. So coming out of the business world, he brought those kind of business principles into play right up front. So Tikkun started off as an organization with a multitude of, I almost want to call them community outreach projects, goodwill intended programs. So you had elderly individuals, for argument's sake, living in subhuman conditions in Alexander Township. So Bertie got his mates together, they raised money together, and then they renovated some 600-odd shacks in Alexander Township. There were children who had been kicked off farms, their families been kicked off farms in Orange Farm District. So they started a feeding scheme, for argument's sake. About 11 or so years ago, I was fortunate to join the organization. realized that these ad hoc programs needed to necessarily be aligned. And we came up with what was called a cradle to career concept. As ambitious as hell, the logic was to say, let's start with kids at an early stage of their development and let's take them all the way through to the point where we actually help them find job opportunities or alternatively tertiary educational opportunities. Why it was ambitious in retrospect was that I don't think we really understood the huge variables that go into the development of a child, ranging from health-related matters, nutrition, psychosocial support infrastructures that are necessary before you even start dealing with things like educational support, sport activity, cultural activities and the likes, and career development.
How do you identify the kids? I mean, you mentioned the six centers that you've got.
Yeah.
Is it a place that you apply and then you go there after school? How would it work?
Yeah, typically what happens is we've got these centers. They've been operational now. The centers were built some 10, 11 years or so ago. So say 19 years ago, sorry. And we have in the vicinity of about 15,500 kids that come to the centers registered. So it's not just a drop-in center. It's not just an edutainment feeding scheme. You actually have to come to the center. You have to register. We get background information on each and every single child. We try as much as we can to engage with parents so that we incorporate parental involvement in the development of their kids. And so our schools run like any school. You apply to join.
So it's an actual school. It's not something you do after school hours.
No, well, the early childhood development programs start at 7:30 in the morning, finish at 4:30 in the afternoon. It's okay. A formalized, accredited facility. And we have properly trained teachers with appropriate qualifications. We try to recruit from the local community and then skill those individuals such that they meet the minimum criteria necessary to be able to fulfill the jobs. But we've got what's called essentially a 60-40 split, where essentially with the centers are designed to cater for those that can pay and those equally that can't pay. What we found when we first started was that originally we built these centers and nobody had to pay anything to join. And we were tarnished then the place that you go to if you've got HIV/AIDS.
Right.
Or if you are, if you're not concerned about your social standing within community. So really and truly it was individuals who had some pride and this huge pride and respect, by the way, within these township communities, didn't come to our centers despite the fact that they might have really needed them. Then we started to introduce a fee. It's a very much subsidized cost that we charge to these kids to come. And we do a means test for every child. And we guess that about 40% of the participants are paying something towards their development.
Okay.
So I'll give you, for instance, in our youth programs, it roughly costs us in the order of about 17,000 rand per individual a year. We charge 50 rand.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Per individual per year. It's just a sign and a commitment to the fact that you're paying something to participate.
And you must have enormous queues of kids wanting to get in because you cannot accommodate everyone.
Well, it's interesting. It's different age categories. I'll tell you an interesting thing, and this is unfortunately an indictment of what's going on in the country. We get huge drop-offs of kids when they reach their grade 11 and grade 12 years from our programs. Part of that has to do with the fact that these kids have simply just got too much extracurricular work to do at school. And the schools themselves are improving their service offerings. But a large part of it also has to do with the fact that, you know, kids who reach that sort of age and don't see a future for themselves, don't see job opportunities, they drop out of school. The dropout of school rate is extraordinarily high amongst grade 11s and 12s, because kids don't have a line of sight as to where their futures might lie.
There's no hope.
That's one of the biggest challenges. That's one of the biggest challenges.
We're talking to Mark Lubner, who is the CEO of Africa Tikkun, in the studio with us. If you've been a graduate of the school, if you've been through Africa Tikkun, let us know. We'd love to hear from you. What are you doing now? What was it like? Is there something that they can do different, you know, based on your experience you have going out into the big wide world? We'd love to hear from you. We'll also talk about the Smile Foundation as well. And it's all happening here on 011-883-0702. 31702 is the SMS line. And we've got in the studio with us Mark Lubner, who is the CEO of Africa Tikkun. 17 minutes past 2 o'clock. Aki Anastasiou in for Azania. We are talking about Africa Tikkun, a fantastic organization that does incredible stuff for children in the world that we're living in today. Been around for a long time. Mark Lubner is the CEO of the charity. And joining us in the studio, because he's coming up just now, right? But Loiso, you kind of intimately involved with Africa Tikkun.
I'm practically family with Africa Tikkun. I mean, like with Africa Tikkun, and I think also the great work that that Mark does as well with Smile Foundation. So I've given a lot, given of my time, given of my resources, not just my singing, and I've done some crazy things as well in the past. You know, just to make sure that we bring. How do you say it again? Like, you know, so we bring attention to the good work that, you know, that Africa Tikkun is doing in the communities.
Yeah. So apart from being with Swing City and being a professional musician that you are, you do a lot of charity work for this organization. What is the one thing that, like, draws you to them that really stands out? You say, wow, this is why I'm doing it, because these guys are making such a difference. Have you, you know, what is the one story that you can tell us that, like, blew your mind away?
For the time that I've worked together with Africa Tikkun, the difference that they make is actually tangible. A lot of the times, the only times we get impressed with what organizations, I mean, I don't want to call this a charity, because a charity just takes money. I mean, like, a charity kind of feels like they just take the money, but I've always found that, like, with Africa Tikkun, they create so much more value than what they receive. The great work that they do in the communities, and they don't work just from outside, but they actually work in the communities, and the people actually live with the community. So the work that they're doing, it's not something that, you know, it's not something that they just keep to themselves, but it's something, but it's a skill that they also share with the community. Because also, you know, sort of like as a community, you can't just be receiving. You also need to know how it is to give, because there's power in giving. And so when you see the great work that Africa Tikkun does, you can't compel but to want to be part of the team. I mean, look, I've never ridden a bicycle, and I can say because I went to boarding school. But but what I did was that I ran the 94.7. I actually got on a bicycle for the first time on the bicycle after like a week. And I did the whole thing, all because of how much I really believe in what these guys do. I'll never do it again because I've done it. We raised some good money through that initiative as well. I haven't tried to play football for like 5 minutes. I think I lasted like 5 minutes.
Your fitness levels, eh? Not very impressive. Well, Loiso, go and practice now and warm up that voice of yours, because I cannot wait to hear Swing City in a moment. That's Loiso Bala telling us about his experience with Africa Tikkun. Thanks, Loiso.
We'll
chat just now. Well, there you go. That's a wonderful testament. What kind of support are you getting from the outside? You know, this is a musician that's been talking, but corporate world, are they helping you as well?
Well, let me just quickly, if I may, while Loiso is here, and this isn't a sort of self praise or reciprocal praise session, but Loiso really represents exactly the kind of model that we need in South Africa a lot more of. Because he has an individual who's been independently and individually very successful, but he's never ever forgotten the fact that, you know, he lives within a community and he gives back within a community. And it's that sort of humility that, you know, the most important thing that Loiso can do for an organization like us, does do for an organization like us, besides giving the love that he does, is to be the role model that he is.
Yes.
There are 20,000 kids that necessarily get exposed.
They look up to him.
To him through our programs. And they say, well, if Loiso can do this, if Loiso's done this with his life, those are the kind of role models that we need effectively for our kids to look up to, particularly in an environment where they're growing up, where their role models are, frankly speaking, you know, a president who's less than credible, and others like that. So we need the Loisos of this world, who don't only necessarily look after their own careers, but are concerned about, you know, the well-being of others, and are simply prepared to just put out their arms and give of themselves as Loiso does. It was no mean feat, the kind of activities he undertook, quite frankly.
So Mark, where do you want to take Africa to?
Where's the future?
Where's the future, and what are the challenges you're facing right now?
I got two of the biggest issues, and I mean, I'm not going to be particularly popular after this. I'm maybe going to lose a number of friends after this sort of statement. My contention is that corporate South Africa is incredibly generous. There's 8 billion rand spent by CSI. Corporate South Africa gives 8 billion rand away a year to charitable initiatives. About 4 billion of that is spent on their own in-house programs, corporate in-house programs. About 4 billion is spent on other organizations like an Africa Tikkun or a SMA. But there's this other section of corporate life which has to do with employment. And I don't think that corporate South Africa necessarily marries the two. In other words, they give out charitably and very, very generously. If you look at on a per capita rate, we in South Africa give away more money than most other countries across the globe. We see these polls about how South Africa is declining in terms of world competitiveness. But I mean, there's a very interesting fact. There should be a review done as just to how generous South Africa is. But corporate South Africa gives you a huge amount of money away. But then, in my opinion, shirks its responsibilities when it comes to planning employment prospects for the youth of our country. We sit and we point and we're worried about Zuma and Guptas and all. That is going to change, but we're still going to be left with this massive problem of 7.5 million unemployed youth under the age of 35. Corporates have got to sit down, frankly speaking, with the NGO sectors like Tikkun and say, guys, here are the job opportunities that we're looking for. And if you, the NGO sector, can develop individuals with the following hard and soft skills, we will give these kids opportunities in terms of internships, learnerships, or employment. Government is doing, I believe, already its bit by creating enough tax incentives, the youth incentive funds, the BEE scorecard opportunities. Mm-hmm. But corporates, and I can tell you, I approach corporates on a regular basis. They still regard us as a charity, and the attitude is kind of like, give Mark a check and let him get on with the good charitable work that he's doing. And I'm saying, guys, that's not enough. We've got to change the model. We're failing,
yes,
frankly speaking, despite the fact that we're spending 8 billion rand a year on charitable initiatives. We're failing because the stats show matric pass rates are still shocking. Kids entering, 150,000 kids are entering into, youth are entering into the job market each year. Yet there are no new jobs being created, or very few. So I'm suggesting the solution to this massive problem lies in corporates sitting down within their particular region and meeting with the Africa Tikkuns and other organizations like ours and structuring a game plan that starts with spending their CSI monies into skills training and development at an earlier stage, leaning through to career development, and then looking at these job opportunities so that at least we give these kids a line of sight, give them hope, and give them real tangible opportunities. And then government, I believe, will come to the party. You know, I was, if I won't mention names, but I was at a particular party a conference yesterday where some of the solutions mooted for a future South Africa were talked about. And high on the agenda was the desire by this particular party to see public-private partnerships necessarily fulfill objectives which are good for the whole of South African society,
okay,
not just for one sect of society.
Mark, how does somebody get in touch with Africa Tikkun? Somebody's listening here, they want to get involved, they might be a musician like Luis, but how does one get involved?
Well, we've got a website, www.africatikkun, and that's AfrikaTikkun.org. And that's the one way. There's many, you know, connect with us buttons on that website. That's probably the best. We don't, unfortunately, have a helpline. But that's probably, yeah, that would probably be
the best. You go there, and that's the avenue.
And then there's names that can be connected depending upon where anybody wants to get involved, be it through charitable contributions or through volunteerism or whatever.
Well, listen, Mark, it's been fantastic talking to you.
Thank you.
Actually, really interesting to hear your insights and the challenges that we face. And, you know, sometimes I agree with you. We sit on the fence and we look at what's happening politically, but the problem is staring at us in the face. And what are we as individuals doing? And what is, because, I mean, here we can talk about the corporates, but it's also up to the individuals to do this and to push within organizations and for each person to make that difference, because the future's in our youth. And if we don't look after our youth, it's going to be a disaster.
And we can, and my belief is this, that, you know, let's assume Tikkun's budget, which is currently close to 100 100-odd million a year, doubles to 200 million a year. Let's assume from 15,000 we go to 30,000. It's still a drop in the ocean. So really putting us in our appropriate place, we've got to realize that the best job of work we could do is to carry on doing what we're doing at our core, but to take this model and to try and motivate scale through bringing together private sector en masse, together with government departments, together with, critically importantly, local community, lay individuals, because there is a structure within these township environments.
Fantastic stuff. Bongani, we've got time for a quick few seconds. You want to talk about Africa Tikkun? Bongani, hi.
Yes, Zaki. Thanks for taking my call. Mr. Lovnat, I want to say thank you so much. It was a few years back when I joined Africa Tikkun as a volunteer. And then, you know, it was such a wonderful experience. I got the chance to work with the youth. And then became an administrator through Africa Tikkun.
Oh, we got a terrible line there, Bongani, but there you go. There's testament to the great work
amazing.
That you do. Mark, thank you for joining us. Have a fantastic weekend. I wish you well over your fast. You got your Yom Kippur fast, which from midnight tonight.
Thank you.
From tonight till sunset tomorrow.
And also, it's also to the Muslim listeners who are listening, I know that there's a fast this weekend as well.
Okay.
So we wish them equally.
Wonderful stuff. Just after 2:30, and that's the CEO of Africa Tikkun, Mark Lubner, joining us in the studio. Inspiring words.